Just go, buddy. Let's get us into it. We'll make this a show, even if it's the
We've been doing that for a long time.
Even if it's sloppy, it'll be true. You know. Okay.
That's what she said.
It was sloppy, but it was true. I'm gonna. I don't need to hang my head in shame. I can walk out with dignity.
May not have been good, but it was
true.
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears, chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and be the whole goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers audio hour and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is June 18th, 2017. Coming from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. The show, we're talking about the latest Paul George news, and we're going to give you a primer for the NBA draft.
A primer?
Joining me... A primer. A
primer, governor.
Joining me are two of our analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast, from Indianapolis, Indiana. He's a in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks. Oh, I'm sorry. I gotta do it again. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the jams and the crappy jingles. John Colson.
Primer?
Primer.
I don't know you anymore. What is up, Pacer Nation? It's Father's Day. We're recording on Father's Day. So shout out to all the fathers out there. Love you, Pops.
Yeah, shout out to Dad. Love you, Dad.
My dad, too. All the dads out there.
Jason's dad. We'll just shout him out even though he's not here. Yeah.
His dad's great,
and too. And it was Aaron's birthday last week, I think, too. So
yeah.
Shout out Aaron Triplett.
Yeah.
Great
happy
finish.
Birthday. Yeah. From Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? This week I'm drinking Bullet and Pepsi.
Mmm.
I figured I needed a bullet.
You need a bullet to the face?
To the dome.
To the dome.
That's a big one, too. It's
Cheers.
Yeah, you got the extra large mug.
Yeah, this thing's going to run like 2 hours long if I get halfway through that thing. So strap in, boys. Give me a long ride.
Jason is spending time with his family this week.
Boo. I'm kidding. I love the triplets. They're great people.
Yeah. I've got two shouts out this week. First one, I spent a great weekend. Went to the Origins Game Festival in Columbus, Ohio, the tabletop board games. I had an awesome time, played some tournaments, won a couple games, but mostly just had a great time. Second shout out this week, not as great. Catherine and I, we lost our dog Sharpie this week.
Sharpie!
We'd had him for a long time. All you guys know him. So just really sad to see him go. All the listeners have probably heard him in the background sometimes.
Yeah, he was definitely the honorary fifth.
Yeah,
he was the fifth
member.
So,
yeah, shout out. We're definitely pouring some beer out for Sharpie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old
sad.
Man.
Yep.
We're all gonna miss him.
So, well, you know what? I wanted to feel better. So, John, brought the paper over here. I haven't had time to read the whole article, but the headline here, "This is my team" from Paul George.
Oh,
sounds great.
He's signing some autographs to some kids.
Yeah, it was a charity softball game, I think, that they play every year with the Pacers and the Colts players.
Nice.
This is exciting. I'm glad that he's going to be in Indiana, clearly for the foreseeable future.
He's probably the rest of his career.
Well, he's taking ownership of that, and that's a big deal. there was a quote. The quote in there was that, you know, this is my team, and I love playing here, and I can't wait to I can't wait to re-sign. Right? Isn't that what his quote was?
No, no. Let me get to, so this is the big the quote that where we get the headline here. Let me get out the paper.
Thank you.
I have the actual paper in front of me.
I didn't know people still got papers.
My mother does. That's where I got this.
Of course she does. She's old
school.
Shout
out to Mom.
She's old school and awesome.
That's right. That's right. So the quote is, I'm under contract as a Pacer. That's all that needs to really be known. I'm here. I'm a Pacer. Again, what I've been dealing with is stories. You guys talking or teams talking. I'm a Pacer. There's no way around that. This is my team, my group, and this is where I'm at. So that doesn't, it doesn't, when you read the actual quote, doesn't feel as...
No, no, no. I want to read the headline again.
It basically is like, I'm contractually obligated to be a Pacer.
That doesn't
so
even, that's not like even internally coherent. It's like, I have to be here, but this is my team. Is it though?
So yeah, so not that was the headline today in the paper.
It's on the Sunday paper. Interestingly,
nailed it.
they got it exactly right.
Other reports started coming out later in the day. Adrian Wojnarowski, writer for Vertical, Yahoo. His source is telling him that he plans to leave the Pacers at. And he wants to go to the Lakers. And Woj is probably one of the, you know, he's probably the best writer at the NBA, at least for breaking news.
Sure, as far as one of the NBA insiders, he's one of the most respected guys
he's the prince of secrets. He knows all things.
I think more importantly, what you said there, though, is that he has, Wojnarowski says that Paul George has already informed the Pacers that he is planning to leave for the Lakers when he becomes a free agent. That's what he's done.
That story was later confirmed by Bob Kravitz,
local beat writer. Actually, he's for Channel 13 now, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's been confirmed, it's been confirmed. It is what it is. Apparently, right. We are recording on Sunday the 18th. This news was apparently broken to the organization yesterday, the 17th. Less than 24 hours before that awesome headline that just nailed the sentiment so perfectly. So, shout out Indy Star.
That's right. Always on top of stuff.
Hey, optimism springs eternal.
And they say print is dead. All right, guys. Well, you know, we speculated about this last five pods, trying to figure out what to do. And now we're in that situation. Our all-star player just said he's out and that he's not going to resign, and he wants to prepare us for that.
So what's the benefit of for him to do this? So, because the thing is, like, he could have just waited, you know, if he made the decision to himself that he doesn't want to come back, you know, he could have just, you know, pretended, and I feel like probably a lot of players do this. You play out your contract and you say the right things, and then, you know, when it's time to ink the new deal, you say, hey, it was a hard decision, but I'm doing something. Why do this ahead of time? Does that handicap?
Well, no, it totally hamstrings the franchise. I mean, I think in his mind he was saying, hey, I want to make sure they're not going to spend their whole season planning to keep me, because that's not happening. So maybe he was thinking he was helping the organization by giving us a heads up. But by this becoming public... And I, you know, again, I don't know who leaked it. It could have been PG's people. It could have been, you know, somebody inside the Pacers organization. You know, we're going to get zero back value in any trade because everybody knows that he's planning to go to LA after a year. So unless you're willing to rent him for a year, you're not going to give up anything.
Right. So I think that there are two distinct issues there. One is he told the Indiana Pacers that he wasn't planning to resign, which in and of itself is A, not a surprise. Right. I mean, this is something that we've been coming to grips with, like you said, over the last five shows. I mean, in some sense, this doesn't change anything. And the fact that it was leaked can be problematic, but it seems pretty well known that the league already knew this. GMs around the league already knew this. almost isn't news, right? Now, the leak doesn't help, right? And where it came from, like I said, I think that is really problematic. In some sense, if you're not going to be here, yeah, I would love for you to tell our ownership that so we know how to proceed.
Sure.
But you're right. To have it go public, it ain't a good look. Now, there is perhaps a softer reading of this that, you know, we're already behind the eight ball here. All the other GMs around the league knew. Only casual basketball fans were not 100% convinced of this reality. So you could say, well, this got out to protect Pritchard, right? Because Pritchard is now forced into a position where he has to make tough decisions about Paul George, right? Either sit him or trade him for little value. And I think that this applies to a lesser extent to Bird as well, right? In some senses, protecting their legacy because they're going to be dealing this guy, in all likelihood, for pennies on the dollar. And that's going to happen.
You said sit him? Like, is that an option?
Well, I mean, I guess one thing is, you don't want him to get hurt. If you're trying to trade him, you don't want him to get hurt.
Okay.
So you can just,
But he's going to be a Laker. I don't care if he gets hurt.
Well, true, but if he gets hurt, you're not able to trade him. Like,
right. You're not allowed to trade him.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's against the rules to trade him, and nobody would want him anyway.
Sure.
Like, if he was to...
Well, I mean, he broke his leg into, like, four parts and came back, and it looks fantastic. So guys probably still want him, but...
We took him back after that, He wasn't looking very good. We took him back.
So you wouldn't. So you're not saying you'd sit him out of spite, like, hey, if you don't want to be a Pacer.
Well, no, I certainly recommend that.
Well, okay. And also, I mean, he's forced our hand in some sense. Like, aren't we in full blown tank mode? Like, when your superstar comes out and says, "I'm not resigning with you," that signals to the GM it's time to tank and get picks, right? So Paul put himself in that position. Now, the real interesting thing about that is he could potentially still make an All NBA team and be eligible for a gigantic contract, right?
If he doesn't play,
he has no chance at that. Now, the only way for that to work, obviously, would have to be a sign-and-trade with someone.
Right.
But he still potentially has the right to that money should he make an All-NBA team. So, if you're Indiana, would you rather sit him out of spite and tank, or would you rather give him a chance to be an All-NBA player and potentially open up the option of a sign-and-trade?
Which would get you back value as opposed to...
No.
You could get more value in a sign-and-trade than him walking away or us maybe doing something mid-season to a team that is going to rent him.
That's correct.
Okay.
Like last week we talked about, the Kevin Love for Paul George thing made a lot of sense, right? Because... Cleveland's in an arms race with the Warriors.
Well, they were.
And we need to get rid of Paul George because he's going to leave anyway. So that makes sense. But now if you're Cleveland, you go, I know I'm only getting him for a year, and that could help me beat the Warriors, but why would I give up Kevin Love? Maybe now I'll just give you Iman Shumpert. I mean, now that it's clear that he's not going to re-sign with them, they're willing to give up less, right?
Yeah.
And furthermore, LeBron is already making noise about going to L.A., right? This seems like it's probably a fait accompli at this point, right? So making any huge deal that doesn't involve... I mean, if I'm Cleveland, I'm thinking, what can I get from LeBron? This guy's leaving me anyway.
is that all just the rumors, or have you heard more than that? I mean, are you...
No, it's all rumors, but, I mean, Paul George falling into line in L.A.?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's starting to look like something that could happen.
I'm a Pacer fan. We're all Pacer fans here. The best player on the team, the best player that the franchise has ever seen, has announced his intention to leave the team a full year ahead of time.
Yeah, it's kind of like, your girlfriend breaking up with you, but being like, but the lease isn't up for 9 months. It's cool if we just crash here, right?
We'll just have an open relationship.
That's where we're at. What is our response as fans to this? Like, I mean, do we burn his jerseys? Like, I mean, we talked last week about he's got the ability and the right to go out in free agency and do whatever he wants. But I still am allowed to feel betrayed, right?
Oh, 100%. And you know, I don't know what the reception is going to be for the whole season. You know,
he can't be on the team when the season starts. I'm sorry, you have to come up with a crappy trade. What are we? We're going to boo him mercilessly. He's our best player, you know, our most talented player ever,
right?
And he's our best current player, and he's just going to get booed out of the building, right? Is that? I mean, do you disagree, Harper?
No, not especially. No, I mean, I think that there's two reactions. I think that there's the knee-jerk reaction, and then, you know, where we are 4 or 5 months from now, I'm sure that, you know, Paul is going to speak on this and, you know, tell us, you know, where his head's at, maybe more honestly than he's ever done, and there's an opportunity there, and blah blah blah. But yes, right now the knee-jerk reaction is screw this guy, right? He's been, but again, for me, this doesn't change that much. We already knew this. We knew this. And the rest of the league knew this. This doesn't change that much for me. Yes, it's sort of official now. And like I said, I don't think it's a great look, but I mean, it doesn't change that much. I mean, this guy's been dissing Indiana for years.
Well, I mean, you know, earlier my concern was that we would have this sort of awkward tension assuming we would lose him. But now we're 100% we're going to lose him. So, like, as a fan base, right? So what's the difference between... should I root for this guy? This is kind of weird. I think he's probably going to leave me. Versus, I know he's walking out the door.
Well, I mean, I think
you don't want to emotionally invest in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? Like I said, I mean, I think you're right at the base of it. I mean, I think this is Paul George essentially forcing a trade, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, I think that the writing is on the wall here. So, regardless of what we get back, you know, we kind of got to dish him. I mean, sure, you could, you know, have this long con where you try and sign and trade if you can make an All-NBA team and all that stuff, but it's too many things would have to fall right. So we're gonna be dishing them. We're gonna hope that someone wants a rental like Cleveland, or at least that can drive up the trade value and get draft picks out of LA. My feeling is that if for any reason he's on our team at the beginning of the year, I mean, you know, what do you just tell the guy not to suit up?
Yeah, I think you said him right.
Yeah, I mean, he's toxic to the locker room now.
Oh my goodness!
What? If he was, like, if he wasn't before, by the way.
All right. What so about lots happening then on Thursday, huh?
See if we can get a pick from Brooklyn or something. Do they need people to come in the door?
They traded all their picks.
No. They've got one in maybe 5 to 15 years. They have one.
They got one in there somewhere.
Boston probably has it.
Yeah. They may fold by then. There's risk.
Oh, man.
So right now, Pritchard didn't sleep last night. He's probably not going to sleep for the next 4 days until the draft. He's making calls all over town. He's trying to find the best value he can, right?
He's got to call, outside of the town, though, I think.
But you think everybody's like laughing him off the phone right now?
No. Well, no. I think, I mean, everyone's an asset, you know. You just got to get what you can get, you know. And the market will decide what, you know. Somebody might say, "Hey, we can take a crack." You know, who's a team out there right now you think that said, "If you add a Paul George for a year, who can take a crack at the title?" You know, this is what we got. Cleveland, you know, is one we've discussed, but they may not be willing to give it up. Who next year would say, "Hey, if we added somebody like that?" What about the Clippers?
Okay.
Is that somebody like we've been talking about this their last year forever? They add Paul George.
And they're in LA.
He can go buy his house or whatever.
He already
owns. He plays in the same damn building.
Yeah.
Instead of out to the Clippers.
There are teams out there with a ton of draft picks. I mean, you know, look at a Boston, which, you know, they got things that they could deal and not give up a lot. I mean, at this point is a, you know, one first round draft pick for Paul George is, I mean, that's probably market value right now.
He seems like a decent guy, but he didn't want to be a part. He didn't want to be in my life anymore. You know, he just broke up with me.
My real overarching question here is, where does this put Paul George on your top 25 all time Pacers list?
He drops dramatically
from two to.
He was five, I believe.
He was five. Is that all?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So he came in behind Reggie, AD, Allen Harrington, and Jermaine O'Neal.
I forgot about Al Harrington.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So Al was number three. Baby Al was number three. You guys go back and listen to the pod. We have a great show. You should listen to
it. No, it changed so much.
the top five has stayed consistent, but I think now it changes. He's got to drop dramatically. I mean, oh God! I mean, where does this put him? Is he below Lance? Lance wasn't even on the top 25.
Yeah, he's below Lance. Lance is on the team right now.
Yeah, Lance wants to be here.
Lance wants to be here. Lance is my new favorite pacer.
Woo!
Woo!
Got him. He's on Team Lance. Lance effect is still in effect here.
Yeah, no, you're right. This affects how I feel about this guy forever. This is terrible.
Of course it does. This guy went from being the best pacer of all time to being the worst. This guy is actively screwing our franchise over.
We're screwed.
And he's been
doing it
for 2 years. Like, this isn't the day that did it. He's been doing it actively. He's been sabotaging this franchise for 2 years. This was just the cherry. That's all this was. Every GM in the league knew what was going on. Just, this is the day that the story broke for fans.
Joey.
Can we get David West back here to, like, keep him in line, maybe?
You put your head in your hands there for a minute. Are you okay?
Well, yeah, it's just, it feels a little bit like sabotage. I don't know. The team's got to, you got to protect yourself. You got to fight back.
I mean, I don't know if you can trust Paul George as a guy who always tells the truth about stuff or is very open or honest or straightforward. Like, unfortunately, I think he's very worried about it as his image, and I don't know that we as fans have a very clear idea of what he is, because he's very managed, right? He's very thoughtful about what he puts out there most of the time. And I think it's so managed that, it sort of divorced us from the reality of where he was really at. And, we talked on this show, we'd like to hear more honesty and this and that from Paul George. Well, he wasn't going to lie to us. He just was going to keep saying things that were sort of true, but it's what he could say. And I mean, he's a superstar in the NBA and he's trying to manage his image, and I get that, and that's fine. And this was honesty. So in some sense, I get it. It's too bad that we didn't figure that out before it became public.
Well, and you're right. He won't be sort of hated across the NBA for this move. This isn't a LeBron
move. Not in LA.
Yeah, or even a KD move. But, I mean, he's, he's destroyed his reputation here in Indy. Permanently, probably. Well, in other trade news, because we're trading him, right?
Yeah, we got to.
Yeah. There was a draft trade before the draft.
Oh, yeah. The Celtics and the Sixers.
Yeah, Boston traded the number one pick, which we had covered it, which we would have liked for Paul George. They traded to Philly for the 3 pick and a future pick. So basically it's the old 2 picks for 1 move.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Boston and you don't, I guess Fultz is the guy that everyone's going for number one, and if you don't want him or you think that the number 3 pick and a future number 1 pick is more valuable, than, the Celtics already have a very good player at that position.
They have an all-star point guard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're very much like Josh Jackson, from what the rumor mill would tell us.
So they're saying Josh Jackson has the potential to be, his comparable. Best case scenario would be like a Tracy McGrady. That sounds pretty good.
Hall of Famer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So if that works out for them, cool. Now they don't need Paul George.
Yeah.
Good thing, because he's going to LA.
Yeah.
Boy, this could make the Sixers awfully silly.
Yeah. No, this makes them really good overnight, right?
I mean, we didn't see Ben Simmons play last year due to injury, but he's a 6'9 point forward. You've got arguably the best point guard to come out of the draft, and there's a lot of point guards out there, but this is arguably the best one to come out of the draft in 5, 6, 7 years. Potentially a franchise changer. And B looks, he's the whole thing, right? He's the entire package. If he can stay healthy, he can beat you from anywhere on the floor against double and triple teams. I mean, he's amazing. And if you like Robert Covington even a little bit, that team is nasty.
Yeah, they got Dario Saric, too. I mean, there's some players on that team also.
Yeah, they haven't got rid of Okafor yet either, have they? They've been trying, but they can't dump him yet. But That team has got an awful, awful lot of talent right now.
I want to give a shout out to the process.
Yeah. Okay. So it's starting to work out. And, you know, are they better than us next year all of a sudden?
Go. Oh,
hands down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're not playing basketball next year. We're tanking.
Oh, no.
And we're not even good at tanking. Sixers are good at tanking.
Yeah, Sixers know how to tank, right? Even if they decide to tank, like, if they have more wins or less wins, they will have won. They will have been better than us.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I, you know, Boston was in the driver's seat and they made a really savvy trade. I mean, you know, if Josh Jackson's your guy, you just added another lottery pick for next year.
Yeah. The problem with this is that they have enough draft picks in the next 3 or 4 years to draft an entirely new team. You've only got so many roster spots, right? So what this really looks like and what the rumor mill is suggesting is that this is actually a power play to go at another team superstar, right? Instead of going after, you know, just a Hayward or even a Paul George, you know, maybe they're trying to put something together where they can get an Anthony Davis or like a legitimate superstar with the amount of draft picks that they have.
Ooh.
And that team could be very good. Very, very good if they added that kind of talent. Especially
Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Put him next to Al Horford.
Whew.
That ain't right.
Boy.
It ain't wrong.
I didn't see that coming.
I thought Horford wanted to go.
No, he's in the contract for like 3 years.
That doesn't mean you can't just announce that you want out.
If we've learned anything in the last 24 hours.
This is so lame.
That's so funny. The sooner that we can move this guy, the better. Like, I mean, right now, he's not a guy that you can bring into the office. He's not a guy that you can really even let practice with the team. Right. I mean, he's a pariah now. I mean,
yeah,
you can't
I mean,
let him near your
him
guys
for,
who you want to keep.
You know, promotion for next year, he can't do anything.
No, I mean, he's toxic, right? I mean, yeah. For all you know, he's recruiting guys to come play for the Lakers, your guys.
Sure, he's got to get out of town.
Yeah, he's got his own agenda, and it's not compatible with our agenda. So, yeah, he's not allowed near our players. He's not allowed near our coaches. I mean, unfortunately, that's just kind of where we're at, and you know, for better or worse, it's what it is.
I don't know that I'm that, you know, I think I came to peace with the fact that he's a young man who wants to return home and play for his, you know, franchise.
Like you're in
play
shock.
For the franchise he grew up rooting for, you know, and you know, I tried to put myself in his position if I was playing for the Lakers, but the Pacers were my whole love, I'd want to come here and I'd figure out how to do it. And I've come to peace with that. So I'm not mad at his decision. I get that. I'm trying to, you know, I guess for me, what the hard part about it is that he's not doing us any favors on the way out the door. There are ways that he could have done this better, right? I mean, there's definitely ways he could have done this better. He could have gone quietly to the Pacers and said, hey, you know, I'm leaving, trade me, get as much as you can out of it.
And again, we don't know that that didn't happen at the end.
But that hurts him, though, right? I mean, you wouldn't necessarily want to do that because you don't want to go to a gutted LA team.
I mean, I don't know. In your defense, for your hypothetical, I think if some team drafted you higher than you were predicted, you know, fostered your career, made you their hero, made you a superstar, did everything they could to market you. And like
you, if you broke your leg,
and hey, look, I know that Larry Bird was not the perfect GM for him or anybody else. I know that, you know, he didn't have as heard a voice as he could have in our franchise, and I know that some of that lands on our plate. But I think that you, Colson, would not walk away so unceremoniously with a year left on your contract. I mean, this is pretty unprecedented in that sense, right? I mean, this is, like I said, I don't know who did what. So I can't say that it's dirty pool, but I can say that, like I said, this sabotage has been going on for a long time. This is not something that happened today. It just became official today, and that stock value was already driven into the floor, and that's because of Paul George and his, you know, his ambivalence about this team. So yeah, he did us dirty. I mean, he did.
He done did us dirty.
So, with the assumption that Paul George probably has his highest value on draft night, we're trying to get as much, you know, sort of chum in the water as we can to create trade value for him. We're looking for a couple things, right? I think that certainly we're talking to Cleveland. We would love to be able to pick up Kevin Love, as we've talked about the last couple weeks. The other thing is we'd like to have draft picks. I don't think that our draft position is set any longer. We know that Pritchard is aggressive. He very well may move us up in the draft. He may be getting additional draft picks within this draft. So things are going to move very quickly over the next week, which is something that, you know, luckily Kevin Pritchard feels very comfortable with and no doubt has prepared for. So I think the draft night is going to be a hell of an interesting day.
Well, I'm excited about that too, because I can't sit on this information and just suffer all postseason or offseason, right? Like I'm ready to figure out what the next step is. Let's make some trades. The draft night is on Thursday.
We already broke up. Let's start dating.
Exactly. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. And you know, there's a bunch of prospects out there. This is a, you know, I've been looking at the, you know, all these online websites about draft order.
And offline websites, too.
I was going to say.
It's called the paper.
I do, yeah. I've got it right here. Actually, the Pacers have a couple, the Indy Star has a couple prospects that they think that could work for the Pacers at 18.
Sure, and based upon their reporting today, I mean, you got to trust them implicitly,
I'm
right?
Sure they're all over it. That hasn't changed already. But this is about a 10 or 11 guys that everybody agrees on. In some different order, those top 10 guys are pretty much, you know,
they're NBA players.
Yes, they are franchise-affecting players, those top 10 guys. After that, there's a lot of diamonds in the rough. This is a deep draft, just about finding the right guy. We're drafting at 18, so.
Or potentially higher.
Yes, yep. Potentially higher.
Well, how about this? I got a stat of the week
for
one of the draft prospects.
Okay.
Joey, stat of the week!
Player named Caleb Swanigan.
Ooh, I've heard of him.
Yeah, you Indiana might have. He's from India. He played at Purdue, from Indianapolis, was born here. But
great story.
Yeah. It's,
he was homeless. He was overweight, like dangerously overweight.
Isn't he from Fort Wayne?
Bio said born in Indy.
Okay. My bio says hometown Fort Wayne. And I also just like to say Fort Wayne.
Even if he wasn't from Fort Wayne, you would have said
exactly.
That.
Exactly. I would have broke it in there anyway.
But he has the longest hands of anyone in the NBA draft combine.
He got Boban
9
hands?
And a half inches. What's that?
He got Boban hands?
He's got Boban hands. 9 and a half inches long and 10 and a quarter inches wide. It's freaking huge.
Wait, what? Oh, that's from thumb to outside. Okay.
Yeah.
Still, though, that's absurd.
That's absurd. He has a 9-foot standing reach. Just to remind the listeners, the rim is 10 feet.
Thank you. Thank you for that update.
So he's a foot away from being able to just touch the rim.
Does he have a 12-inch vertical?
Yeah, exactly. Right. I hope they they check to make sure he can jump a foot. Oh, just a supreme athlete. Great story. A local guy. He's on the board. What I like about this is that he is all over the board on all these different draft predictions, right? So some people have him going right outside the lottery. Some people have him going late in the second round. This is a guy that probably will be there at 18. But if you pick him at 18, it may be too high. You might be able to even get him in the second round at 47. Just a class act kid, a good guy who's worked his butt off to get here. He's got a high basketball IQ.
He's got a hell of a lot of will, too, which...
Yeah, a will to win. I mean, this guy has earned what he's got.
Yep.
And
you can't teach work ethic.
Trying to rebuild the Pacer brand after losing its star player, going for, you know, just a great story and a local guy might be worth looking into.
Sure.
And I think you do have to decide whether 18 is too high for him, but I want to throw his name in the ring as a guy I think we should look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to draft a project this year. It's fine to trade down if that's the guy that you're passionate about, right? Just to throw the number out there, his no-step vertical was 26. His max vert was 29 inches, so he can dunk.
Nice. He can jump.
He can jump.
At least a foot.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he can get, you know, 11 feet, almost 12 feet above the ground to block your shot. So he's definitely rough. He has work to do, but by all accounts, really a great kid and a hard worker. And I'd love to have him in a Pacers jersey.
He's 6'9", sort of power forward center, but big and beefy. Might be nice to put up next to kind of the thin and slight Miles Turner.
Yeah. So. And plus, like, so if his career goes great and he wants to go home, all he can do is go to the Mad Ants.
He can go play with Paul George at the Mad Ants.
I mentioned the Star had some picks. One of them was Donovan Mitchell, one of these really quick, talented, high IQ
D-Mitch?
Point guards. Yeah, D-Mitch. He's kind of a combo guard. They say kind of similar to...
Great, we need them.
Potentially could be a George Hill type player. But one of the reasons they mentioned him is because he's buddies with Paul George. So he's off the table. We're not drafting him.
Sweet.
Don't worry about that, Indy Star.
Yeah.
Way to be, again, ahead of the curve. I tried to pick guys that had sort of wide variances, and some people liked them in the lottery. Some people thought they'd go late in the 20s. So maybe we could get some real talent at the 18. OG Anunoby. Was a forward for IU last year. He tore his ACL, so he didn't really play much of the season. But has a ton of upside. As they said, comparables might be a Battier type player. We need a small forward.
Did you just use upside and Battier in the same sentence?
Battier had a long, good career.
Yeah, but it was all because of his IQ, not because of his athletic upside.
Yeah. They also mentioned Trevor Ariza as a comparable. He's pretty good.
Sure.
He's a role player.
Sure.
We're drafting at 18.
Yeah.
But he'd be a local guy as well.
Yeah. I do like Anunoby. Yeah.
There's a guy named Justin Patton.
J-Pat.
Your new favorite guy? Just because you can say J-Pat?
Yeah.
This guy had a 69% true shooting percentage in college, which seems pretty good.
He went to Creighton.
Creighton. And they say best case scenario, he could be a poor man's Carl Anthony Towns.
Really, really poor man.
But I would like a poor man's Carl Anthony
Towns. Carl Anthony Towns isn't even all NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not ready to dominate the league for the next 10 years, whatever you're thinking.
He's lucky to be in a league.
One of the guys that I've had my eye on is Justin Jackson.
So that's Justin Jackson?
Yeah.
Not Justin Patton, not J-Pat.
No, J-Jack.
J-Jack.
But there's actually two of them in the draft this year, so I think we should just take them both. I think
one in the first round and one in the second?
Mm. No, we need two first rounds, just to be sure.
Okay. Are they any good?
I mean, potentially.
Does it matter? They have the same name?
Yeah.
We have two Justin Jacksons on the team. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. One more name I want to throw out there. This guy I'm actually really excited about, and this is my pick for the Pacers to take. Jonah Bolden. So NBA Draft Express has us taking him at 47 in the second round. That's why I took notice of his name. The Ringer draft projection has him going... at 22 in the first round. So we might need to pick him up at 18 and not wait till the second round. They say best case scenario, baby Al Harrington.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or a poor man's Draymond Green.
We need
a small forward because we're losing Paul George. There are only two players in this draft that shot more than 40% from the 3-point line and averaged at least one block and one steal. One of those is Markelle Fultz. One of the other ones is Jonah Bolden.
He also shoots 61% from the free throw line.
I'm sorry. We can work on that. That's something you can fix. He's a project. That's why he might be going in the second round. I think he's my dark horse. I like him.
Yeah, but that was the college free throw line. The NBA free throw line, he'll be way better at.
True. At some point.
I didn't want to pick the guys that were stars in 1 through 10, but you're right now. Everything's on its head, Harper. We could be trading up and getting different draft picks. And
yeah, and I mean, he's also played in the Serbian League, so, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's got that international flair. So.
Well, anyway, guys that can play defense, switch, and also shoot the three.
I mean, here's the rub.
Matter in this league.
Here's the rub. Yes, there's talent out there. Yes, we have to go out and find it. But who's going to develop that talent? I mean, we're back to square one as far as I'm concerned. We can go out and we can have the best GM in the league and we can draft all the best guys and all have all the greatest upsides, but who's going to maximize that talent? And I still don't think that we have an answer to that question. The only reason in my mind that we were keeping Nate was for the sake of continuity. It's time to cancel that plan. We need a developmental coach. We need him yesterday. And it's time to pull the trigger.
I disagree. I think the only reason we're keeping Nate is because Pritchard has a relationship with him, and I don't think anything changes.
I didn't say that wasn't okay. That's another reason.
You said continuity.
That's another reason why we're keeping him.
Yeah,
but it's not a good reason, and I didn't. I mean, the reason that I overlooked it is because I never thought it was a good reason. Continuity made sense to me. Now that we know that continuity is unimportant, we need a guy who specializes in developing young talent. Nate is not that guy. Nate has never been that guy. There's no argument to keep Nate McMillan on our team. He has to go.
You know, one thing, speaking of continuity, I think the first five games of this upcoming season could be trouble for the Pacers. We think Paul George won't be playing.
Right.
Another player not playing, Monte Ellis.
Mm.
Suspended for the first five games of the season.
However will we recover?
Well, we could recover by relaxing with a nice marijuana cigarette.
Sure. But then we know that's what Monte's doing.
Yeah. Was that Easy Money who was like, we know it wasn't BEDs?
Sick burn.
Shout out.
So he'll be out to the first five games.
I mean, can we just cut him now too? Just
I mean that makes our tanking job more difficult if we can't play Monte. I mean, we need him out there to tank.
That's right. We'll probably win the first five games because he's not there. poor Monte. I know why you seem to step slow on defense.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness to Monte, probably the reason he had to get high is because he had to work with Paul George every day. So he's going to be clean from here on out. It's all good.
All right, boy. The poison in the locker room, Paul George.
It's spread to the podcasters.
It's legal in those states. Come on, Miles Turner and the 18th pick. We got this. And Lance. We got Lance. GR3.
We got a tank. It's time to tank.
Well, Pacer fans, if you're listening to this, we know you're hardcore. Just be prepared for a long season.
In order to make it better, we will get drunk and talk about how bad we are every week and try and be funny while we do it. So,
trying something different then?
Yeah. We're going to be funny this year.
Okay.
Joey, get on your game. I got nothing.
Well, it won't be longer than 82 games, so we've got that to look forward to.
Right. Although, as we've learned, the process can last 15 years, so
it can.
Strap in.
Oh.
Who's the 76ers GM? Can we hire him?
Yeah, Hinkie's out.
Hinkie's out there.
It's true.
He'd just be a special advisor.
A special advisor, you know, to the special advisor.
Yeah. I was actually listening to Donnie Walsh pod, and it was really good. We'll put a link to it. He was talking about taking over the franchise in, what was it, 87? and the Pacers hadn't made the playoffs in, you know, basically since they joined the NBA.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, I figured I had about 3 years before they fired me. And in those three drafts, he drafted Chuck Person, Reggie Miller, and Rick Smets.
How'd he do?
Yeah. He said, I knew I couldn't get better in trades. You know, we didn't have any assets. I just had to nail draft picks. And he said he figured he'd get fired after that. And then, of course, because they didn't make the playoffs still after that. And then, boom, they got in the first round. And he said the city was so excited. It was just crazy. And that was 91. And that was the beginning of it. You know, then he drafted Dale Davis and boom. But he just was convinced that he had a 3-year window, and so you got to nail the draft picks. So he's pretty good at that. He's still on our squad. We can still nail these things.
Do you think that with the league having changed the way that it is, that Donnie Walsh's base of knowledge is as relevant as it was in 1990? I'm not accusing anything. I'm asking honestly because I'm chewing through it myself.
I don't know. I think he's one of the greatest, general managers in the history of the NBA.
No,
like, I think
no question about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that he could do now that keeps him out of the Hall of Fame.
Right. Right. I mean, he's a fantastic basketball mind.
Absolutely.
You know, he's probably lost a step. He's a little bit older. I mean, that's fair.
I think I could take him on the dribble.
I know I still can't, but.
Probably still can't. I think that level of experience matters. He's got to surround himself with younger minds and other guys.
And Kevin Pritchard is definitely that. I mean, I think
potentially
what a great combo, right?
Yeah, his advice is still invaluable. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you think about, we talked about Jerry West and helping the Warriors and asking them and, sort of convincing them not to trade Kevin Love for Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his call, you know, as an advisor. And so they said, okay. And that worked out, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still good to keep the old guys around, even if they can't keep up with the pace of answering the phones, you know.
Right. No, I mean, I think you're right. I think there's two things. I think there's scouting, and I think that there's strategy. And there's few in the history of the NBA, who have been more adept at the strategy and tactics than Donnie Walsh. Even if it's as simple as, you know, we know that we can't get a free agent, or we know we have to build through the draft and we're going to nail that, and putting your resources in the right places, we'll come out of this okay. Not great. I mean, this is not great, but better than most teams.
You've got to remember that we've stayed relevant for the last two decades, more than two decades. Well, yeah, two decades.
Yeah, we did that in the East, though.
Right, but we've done that because of smart decisions that were made in difficult times and things changing. And,
absolutely right.
And I think this is another opportunity for us to do that.
I mean, honestly, this team has been relevant for 20 years, and we've never had a true superstar until Paul George. Like, Reggie really wasn't that.
No, he wasn't a superstar.
Right?
No. And you know, you could make an argument that Jermaine O'Neal was a superstar, but
for like a year
and
a half.
Stay healthy.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the short list of MVP for a year. Right. It's like, I mean, it's been very impressive what we've been able to do with limited personnel and through the draft and through, you know, sort of cerebral strategy and trades. And so, like I said, you give me hope, Colson, because I think you're right.
I think that we can continue to do that. It may be a quiet year this year, but this is the seeds that are being planted right now. I'm really interested to see what happens on draft night. Want to see what we can get out of it. Because I really do believe this is the beginning of the next Pacer chapter.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Donnie's a part of it, because he's been a part of every other chapter.
You know, I feel so much better now. Like, I came into this show and I was like, you asked me right before the show started, like, are you over this? Like, are you checked out? And it wasn't that. Like, I don't feel like it changed that much today, but, like, now I can move on from denial to acceptance, right?
Right.
And now I can get excited about the future of our franchise. Like, I think that's a real thing. And there's a lot of work to be done, but I think that we've got a great front office right now. Like I said, I still think we need to do something about the coaching thing, but I think our front office is very capable. And I'm really excited to see what they do. It's going to be an exciting couple of weeks. This is good stuff. And frankly, like I said, Paul George submarined our team. Good riddance. Yep. It's done. We know where we're at. Now we can move on.
Joey, are you excited? I mean, you know, a lot of changes are going to happen this offseason, but are you still interested in season tickets? Are you excited about a team that might only vie for 20 wins?
Well, let's see what happens on draft night. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, on some level, you know, Harper's saying is that the fact that Paul George has told us this is a release.
Yeah.
You know, so do you feel better? Do you feel lighter now that the girlfriend finally dumped you instead of stringing you along?
Let me talk to my wife about that, but...
This got awkward.
I know what you mean. Yeah, in a way. I mean, but to me, it just seems like it would have been better dealt with behind closed doors. But, I mean, I guess if the Pacers are leaking to help their case, then, you know...
Then, yeah. Good on them.
Then fine.
Then, I mean, it's what we have out. To do in some sense.
Right. Yeah, because we need every... You know, all 30 teams to call us and be like, "All right, this is what I'm willing to give up." And we'd be like, "Oh, I got a better option over on this other team," and then try to drive up the value.
Right.
And part of the genius of it too is like the window's so small that it's hard to get that. You know, it's hard to nail down the intel in a week, right?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
So many rumors float around. You know, if you got 6 months to figure out who's offering what, that's one thing. But when you've got a week to figure it out, you got to put out your best if you're interested. So. We can turn this to our advantage. I believe we can.
It's still not going to be a great haul. I mean, I think Pacer fans will be saddened by how little it is.
We should be tempered. But... We should temper expectations right now. It's not going to be great.
Yep.
But it will be something.
It will be something.
It won't be Paul George, you know, poisoning our locker room and not being allowed to games for the next 6 months, which is a really crappy storyline. Like, that's just not what you want in the newspaper every day, so...
Although we're not sure what IndyStar would put out anyway, they'd probably be like,
"This is my team,
Paul George. This is my team."
I subscribe on the online.
Thomas so, Dewey wins.
Yeah. I still give him money just online.
Sure,
I give him the internet money.
Is that real money?
I mean, yeah, it just goes through the internet, though.
How do I make the internet money?
Hmm.
Because I've been putting this out on the internet, and I don't see a dime.
No. Well, that's because I see it.
Liar.
You're a volunteer. All right, I think it's time to get going here.
Yeah.
Trying to bounce. Coulson, I know you've been just itching to get back on Twitter and see what the newest rumors are after I teach you how to use Twitter.
No comment.
it's always about falconry with you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gotta love the off season.
Yeah. It's better than the season sometimes.
Apparently, this off season is gonna be better than next season.
Next season
sure.
May be a little brutal.
Yikes.
It's gonna be a lot of drinks on next year's shows.
Guys,
just prepare
guys
for a slurred speech from the enforcer.
Guys that you're gonna want to root for.
Tyler Hansbrough is coming back, you're saying.
Oh, God, don't.
You
just
shut
don't.
Your face.
Just don't do that. Stop.
I want to thank the listeners. Thank you for so much for being with us, getting this far.
You're still listening. Thank you.
I want to let you know you can get with us, in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.
That's also how you get with us, too.
That's how you get with us, is on Twitter. Or Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is theunbeatables.com. If you're listening to this on the internet radio or the radio in your car, you can also listen to this as a podcast, which you can subscribe to in iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast. If you're in iTunes, give us a review. It helps other folks find our show.
If you are in the car, be kind to other drivers.
Before we go this week, I want to say in honesty... I do want to thank Paul George for his service to this team. It's been a really ugly end to this whole thing, and he's probably gone. But he's also done some great things for our team. It probably wasn't his camp who leaked this. So as of yesterday, he was, what, top five on your list, Coulson, as an all-time Pacer? So
He was moving up, honestly. And if he'd re-signed, he probably would have gotten to number two.
Right.
Nobody will ever... take over Reggie, but he would have gotten there.
But I
want
to urge not overreaction from Pacer fans. These things will show themselves out, and I'm not saying that he's going to be anyone's favorite Pacer. It's not going to happen. But, you know, it's unfair to just blame him for this leak going out and all the other stuff. I really do think that underneath it all, he's a good kid and didn't play his cards very well. And, you know, I'll blame his managers as much as I blame him for that, because I think that the kid is overmanaged right now. So anyway, I want to put that out there, because I know that we've trash talked Paul George a little bit on this. He has done some tough things to the team, but at the end of it, I think he's a good person. It is what it is.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I think, you know, history will look back on this ideally a little bit kinder than it feels right now.
Sure.
And he was an amazing ride. He did some great stuff for us, some great Pacer memories that we'll have forever. Yeah. You know, right now, and there'll be another time when he officially gets traded. There'll be time to eulogize him and pour some beer out. But right now, suck it, Paul George.
Suck it.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sick-Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
It's just never felt so true. God damn it.
Joey, is the party over?
I mean, it's getting there.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
But the lights are on and the music is stopped. So.
All right, I get the message.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying anything, but I am playing Last Call.
So the greatest of all Pacers would be the Gope, right?
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
The Gope.
So Reggie's the Gope.
Reggie's the Gope.
I've never even thought of that. You're a genius.
So PG will never be the Gope.
PG had a chance to be the Gope?
Yeah.
PG's still the most talented person to ever don the jersey.
Sure.
Sure, but he lost the Gope. He just gave up the Gope.
He's un-Gopey.
He's un-Gopeable.
He is un-Gopeable, for sure.